Okay, kiddos, join me up here if you will. Now I want you to get where you can see the screen. And someone will hit the lights back there for me. Mikey, will you get those lights over there for me? All right. Now, I want you to pay close attention. It's about 4 minutes. It's part of a story. I think you'll pick up on it.
And the council of the elders met to see how they might rid themselves of Jesus. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was one of the 12.
Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
And an angel from heaven appeared to him to strengthen him. And his sweat was as though it were great drops of blood falling to the ground.
Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you do not fall into temptation. Is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?
Lord, shall we smite with the sword?
Come on, arrest him.
Enough of this.
Come with swords and clubs as though I were an outlaw. I was with you every day in the temple and you did not try to arrest me. But this is your hour to act, when the power of darkness rules.
Come on, quick, let's go.
Arrest him.
All right, kiddos, who was the guy that kissed Jesus?
Judas.
And what was Judas doing?
Praying.
No, he wasn't praying. What was he doing? Does anybody know? Jackson?
Arresting Jesus.
Well, that's what they did. They arrested Jesus. But Lou?
They were about to crucify him.
Yeah, they were getting ready to crucify him. They had arrested him. But who was Judas? His name was Judas Iscariot. Anybody know? Luke, you know? He's one of the 12. That's right. And what had he done? He did a bad thing. Jackson? He betrayed Jesus. He sold Jesus out to the religious leaders. And it was 30 pieces of silver that he took. And he told the, when he led them out there to, led the temple guards and all, as they came out there to arrest Jesus, and the scribes and Pharisees, they were there. He said, "The one that I kiss, that will be the one." And so that's a term we use in our culture a lot, betraying somebody with a kiss. He sold him out. He did a bad thing. Now, Peter did a good thing later, but didn't Peter also do a bad thing?
Yes.
What did he do?
Three times.
But Peter later came back to Jesus. Did Judas come back to Jesus? Did he believe in Jesus? No, he didn't. Because the Bible says he went out and he hung himself. He tried to give the money back to the religious leaders, and he threw it on the temple floor, and then they collected it. And they bought a field and where they would bury unknown people. I want y'all to see that today because as over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about parts of the story leading up to Jesus' resurrection. And this was a big part of the story where they came and arrested Jesus and Judas, one of the 12 disciples, he betrayed Jesus. Why did he betray Jesus, do you think? Jackson?
He got tempted by money.
Yes, sir. You said two words. You said you said tempted and money. Yeah, he was tempted, all right. The Bible says Satan entered his heart. It also says in the Old Testament that somebody was going to do that. We didn't know who it was going to be until it was revealed Judas was the one who did it. So we've got to resist the devil in our lives because he'll try to get us to do bad things like he did with Judas. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'll take this story, Lord, as each of us begin to think about all the parts of the story that led up to your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, impress these images, impress your word upon these children today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Thank you for your attention. You were very good today. Audrey and I would like to thank you for all your expressions.
Did you use Daniel's card?
What?
Did you use Daniel's card?
Yes, I did. Daniel gave me a card this morning and drew me a picture. We'd like to express our thanks to you for all the ways in which you showed your love, your prayers for us this week. And just to know that you're there, but we truly did feel the prayers and the undergirding of the Spirit of God and the comfort and all the ways you expressed your love this week. God bless you. Where's the baby? That baby's not going to lack for love. And what's the full name? John Shannon Thornburg. Well, Brother John, we're glad you're here today.
I'm glad to be here.
I hope you can listen fast today. Have a lot to share with you over the next several weeks as we lead up to the celebration of the resurrection. Starting on last Wednesday, began 40 days leading up to the celebration of the resurrection. Dan, Rick, and I have been praying for weeks and several months about this and about how we would do this. And we're just going to share with you today what God's put on our heart. Really believe He wants us to take a serious spiritual inventory in our lives, our personal lives, and in our church. 40 days is used in Scripture in a lot of different ways. There are 40 days and nights of the flood. Moses spent 40 years out in the desert after exile from Egypt. Moses was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses interceded for Israel 40 days and 40 nights. Maximum number of lashes for a crime in Scripture is 40 lashes. Israelite spies took 40 days to spy out the land of Canaan. Israel wandered for 40 years out in the desert. Before Samson delivered the Israelites served the Philistines for 40 years. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days before that little shepherd boy David showed up. Elijah fled from Jezebel for 40 days and 40 nights before he arrived at Mount Horeb. Number 40 appears in many prophecies in the Scripture, in Ezekiel and in Jonah. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. There are 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. Now, why did I go through that all that song and dance about the name, the number 40? 40 can be a time of testing, time of examination, a time of reflection, a time of listening to God, hear what He has to say. To hear His voice above the chatter that will inevitably come. It is a discipline. Last Wednesday morning, something that I've been praying about, and I would encourage you to also pray with me about this, about what God will lead you to do. To do something between now and the celebration of the resurrection that will be a constant reminder to you of what it's all about. It is all about Jesus. It is all about His death, burial, and resurrection. It is all about the King who is coming. What He has done for us as He came the first time in our salvation, and He's coming the second time. It is all about all of that. That is what it's about. But what will remind you of that between now and the celebration of resurrection on March 27th, when we come together, that pinnacle day of the year where we celebrate what Jesus has done and what He's going to do. The risen Lord and the coming King. I would invite you to do something. Pray about it. Ask God what He would show you that you can do that will be a constant physical reminder to you on a daily basis that you mean business with him. Now, something that I decided to do, I prayed about this for several months. It's been in my prayer about what I would do, and the Lord gave me the timing. I'm not going to shave between now and the resurrection. Now, I'm not going to cut my hair. I'm not going to shave. I'm not taking a Nazarite vow, John. But that will be a constant reminder to me. Now, I'm not inviting any of you. You don't have to do that. That's not what I'm saying. Let's say that's what God led me to do. I've never done that before. The longest I've ever gone without shaving is maybe 4 days. And it'd probably take about 3 or 4 weeks before you could tell that I hadn't shaved. Because I definitely don't have what it takes for a nice beard like my son's. But it will be a reminder to me. Now, some other things the Lord has asked me to do that are private, and they're reminders. What will he say to you? What is going to be your reminder? Now, the title of our sermon series, those of you who are here at 9:30, you've already gotten an introduction to this, because we're going to kind of brother-in-law this, 9:30 and 11, over these next 5 weeks as we lead up to the celebration of resurrection. We're going to take people from Scripture and look at their lives from now till the resurrection celebration. We want to take a good look at our lives as we look at this theme, battle for Jesus, battle for you. We'll look at the lives of 5 people at 11. We're going to do it at 9:30 also. We've already begun that today. And see their battle for the true identity of Jesus. And their battle that Jesus is waging for their soul. The battle that we go through every day. The fight about the identity of Jesus. Who he really is. Is he Lord, liar, or lunatic? Is he speaking to us? We'll ask the question overtly and many times implied. Am I truly seeing the true nature of the spiritual battle that's waging around me? Or am I some kind of ostrich that has some spiritual ostrich that has my head stuck in the sand? I won't say the rest of what I'd like to say right there, but my head's stuck in the sand and not paying attention to what God is doing around me and the war that is going on for the lives of the people around us and for us. 40 days. It began this past Wednesday. I'd encourage you to ask God what He wants you to do in this time. How will you be reminded? And please, don't tell me that you're spiritually strong enough that you don't need a reminder. Sell that somewhere else. We need a reminder. It needs to be up in our face about our relationship with Him. And what is He speaking to us? Now, today's message is about Judas Iscariot. The battle for Jesus? Do you think that Judas Iscariot had a battle about who Jesus was and his identity, and then what Judas was going to do about that. And then the battle for Judas's life is a weight in the balance. Now let's look at the story. We'll go through several passages of Scripture as we quickly move through this. We see from the beginning that Jesus chose Judas. We look at that passage in Luke 6:16. Judas, I believe, is at the bottom, at the last of every list of the apostles. And Jesus chose him. Scripture says there, and who became a traitor, who betrayed him. Secondly, Judas struggled with money. Let's look at this passage. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now, he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to pilfer it, what was put into it. We see from the beginning, have you ever thought why Matthew, the tax collector, obviously somebody good with money, didn't carry the purse for the group? But it was Judas that did it. It was a test for him, a test that he failed. Three, Judas had betrayal in his heart early. John 6:66 down through 71 says this, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, 'You not want to go away also, do you?' Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.'" This is early on. "Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." See, that was in his heart early on. Number four, Jesus calls him out and Satan enters his heart. Skip on over to John 13. Jesus then answered, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." There they are at the Last Supper. There they are at the table together, and Jesus calls him out. And Satan enters his heart. Number five, his closest friends don't suspect him. We read the rest of that passage in John 13. "Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Jesus had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, 'Buy the things we need for the feast.'" You know, what you do, do it quickly. "Or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he immediately went out, and it was night." Now here you've gone this far in it. He's been with these people, these same guys, 3 years or better, and they don't suspect him. They don't know that he's the one. Number six, Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. In Luke 22, while he was still speaking, behold, the crowd came. One called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss. He'd already sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. By the way, have you ever wondered what's the deal about 30 pieces of silver? It's the price of a slave. If your ox gored a slave and that slave was put out of commission, that's what a slave would be worth, 30 pieces of silver. Can you grasp this now, that's the price, and by the way, it was prophesied, but that's the price that Jesus is betrayed for. But you see all the imagery of that. Yes, the slave has become our brother because he laid down his life for us, our servant. He came the first time as servant. When he comes the second time, he'll come as reigning king. Number 7, he realizes what he has done and tries to return the money. Matthew 27, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, throwing it out there on the temple floor. And he feels remorse. There's a word in the original language there about feeling remorse. It's a word, some translations say it's repent, but it's not the true word for repent, because true word for repent means you have changed, you've done a 180, you've changed your heart. Just this means he felt sorry for what he had done. He realizes the truth of it. Scripture says in number 8 that he hangs himself. Matthew 27:5 says, he threw the piece of silver into the temple sanctuary. He departed. He went away and hanged himself. And then this other part of the story, which some would say, which is number 9, he falls head first and burst open. Acts 1:18. Now this man acquired a field with price of wickedness, akeldama, and falling, that's the name of it, falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all of his intestines gushed out. Some will say there's an obvious contradiction in the story there about Jesus. Did he hang himself, or did he fall and burst wide open? Well, here's the thing. There's an easy answer to that. He hanged himself. He's hanging there. And after so long, either the branch breaks or the rope breaks, and he bursts when he falls on the rocks below. Simple explanation. Now, there was Jesus' battle, the battle for Jesus. Did he truly ever believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Did he ever really trust Jesus as the Son of God? Answer to that, no. By believing this, we can see in this story, there's a battle for us, battle for you and me. Number 1, we all have an opportunity to betray Jesus every day, don't we? To sell him out, don't we? Will you stand for him or not? Give you some definitions of betrayal. Give you 4 definitions of what it means to betray someone. To deliver or expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty. Did Jesus do that? Number 2. To be unfaithful in guarding, maintaining, or fulfilling. Did Judas do that? Number 3, to disappoint the hopes or expectations of, to be disloyal to. Did he do that? Number 4, to reveal or disclose in violation of confidence. Did he do that? Now I want to ask you, when you have these definitions of what betrayal means, do you do this? When it comes to your relationship with Jesus, are you ever disloyal? Not maintaining or fulfilling? The list goes on. We all have an opportunity to betray Jesus. Number two, betrayal is real. Betrayal is real. It really does happen. How many of you have ever felt betrayed? Someone who you trusted. Someone whom you trusted with your life. Flip that around. Does Jesus ever feel betrayed by you? Third, your life of betrayal can be hidden from even the closest people to you. Yes, you can have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. You can have a life that others see, they see and they don't know. Just like with Judas, the other disciples, they're clueless. When Jesus says, and he says, what you've got to do, go and do it quickly. And you know, he busts him out there. But the disciples missed it. They missed it. Number four, it's a matter of the heart. This idea of betrayal. You see, you got to look inside, because that's where betrayal has its genesis, is inside of us, in our heart. It's a heart problem. Number five, it is a battle for you, because Satan, the world, the flesh, and the devil want to take control of you, want to control your life. Let me ask you this. Just us chickens talking here. If you're not feeling the battle, what does that mean? That means you're already in his hand. Hadn't thought of it like that. Because the battle for you and for the people, for the identity of Jesus and for your life, is raging. Satan wants to be in charge. Number six, it's a battle for who you think Jesus is. Look at all the ways in our culture right now. By the way, you want to go acultural? You want to go against culture? You want to be anti-culture? Then choose Jesus. If you want to be a rebel today, if you want to be cutting edge out there that so few people are doing, choose Jesus. Because the crowd is headed in the other direction. And it's a series of little things, of little choices. Seldom is it one big choice. It's chiseling away and chiseling away and chiseling away. I put a swimming pool, one of those kiddie swimming pools, those blue ones, you know, the cheap $5, $4 swimming pool. You know what I'm talking about, blue. In our backyard, filled it up with water right after we got Daisy Duke, our dog. Put back now, I thought that'd be a good idea. She'll enjoy that in the summertime, jumping in and out of that. Well, I came home the first night and part of it looked like someone had chewed on it. Maybe some squirrels broke into the yard. Some of those errant raccoons or maybe a possum. Yeah, got sharp teeth. Surely Daisy wouldn't do that. And on the next day, it chewed down one side and all the water had come out. Came on the next day, and little by little by little, and y'all may have seen the picture on Facebook. You know, our backyard became covered with little blue pieces. What had existed as a swimming pool no longer exists. That's what the evil one would like to do to your life. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. To break you up into so many pieces. And he does that. He does that with our time. He does that with our money. He does that with everything. As he tries to break off a little piece here and a little piece there, before you know it, we have given away our identity. Number 7, it's a battle for the control of your life. Who is in control? Who's controlling your life? So I'm controlling my life. Well, let's see which direction your choices are pointing right now. Don't give me the religious stuff. But are you falling more in love with Jesus? Or are you finding convenient ways to go away from Him? Number 8, you got to fight. It's time to throw down and fight. I'm not talking about being ill-tempered in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about walking around with anger all the time, that kind of, yeah, sometimes there needs to be some righteous indignation. Some things in our culture need to get angry about. But the war can also be a war of joy, of bringing joy, the joy of Jesus and serving Him into the wasteland of where you work and where you live, and showing people that God has better for them than what they're experiencing. We got to fight. It's time to join the battle. And finally, we got to trust the Lord. At last, what was Judas not willing to do? It's obvious by his life. From the very beginning, we see him plotting. He's thinking about, well, man, I can make some money off of this guy. I could betray him. But from the very beginning, what was he not willing to do? He was not willing to trust the Lord as Lord of his life and do what Jesus said. You look at all the others. It's not that Judas had foibles. All of them had foibles. We're going to look at Peter next week. He had plenty of foibles. But, and sin in your life. But what did you do about it? Judas turned and left. He committed suicide. What about you? The battle for Jesus. The battle for you. Who is Jesus in your life? And how is He breaking through to the people around you? We got a chance between now and Resurrection Sunday. We got a chance to make a difference. What are you going to do with the time? It's leaking away. What are you going to do with it? Do the people in your life really know that you belong to Him? Or do they just know you're religious? We're going to open the altar in just a moment. And we're going to invite you. Brother Dane will be here. Brother Rick will be here. If you want to come and pray. If you've never received Jesus in your life, today's the day. Don't reject Him. Receive Him as Savior and Lord. Let Him come into your life. He'll change you. If you've received Him, as many of you have, and you've professed your faith, The Lord has something He wants to speak to you between now and Resurrection Sunday. What is it? It's not accidental. This is not another gimmick. You know, we've tossed gimmicks a long time ago. This is real life down in the trenches where we live and where the people in your life live. When we laid my father-in-law's remains to rest on Wednesday, there's one question that was not in my mind when we went out to that cemetery. One question. And here it is. Will I ever get to see him again? Because I know that I know that I know that I know that Lemuel Cooper Wells Sr. had received Jesus in his life a long time ago. And that part was not in doubt. So all the tears that have been in our eyes this week have been for us. We're going to miss him. But there's happy reunion. That's it. Let's pray. And we'll open the altar. Maybe God's going to cast his net today and we'll find out we've got a few radicals in our midst. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. We pray now we'll be obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying to us now. Lord, for some of us, we just need to come and get our hearts right today. Where we have betrayed you with our thoughts, betrayed you with our actions, betrayed you with how we spend our money, betrayed you, Lord, how we live. Lord, come. Come now. Come and speak. Come and move. Let us listen to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The altar's open. If you have an offering to bring, those cards, we'd sure like to get them from you. You can bring those now. Basket in the back, basket's up. From time to time, people ask me, so why do y'all do that? Why do you do the thing with the basket? Ask people to step out and do that, and you don't pass it around. It's a simple thing. I mean, if you want to put something in there before or after, you can do that. But we need some of us need an opportunity. That's part of our worship, to do that, to bring that to the Lord. So that's why we do it. It's nothing, no big secret. Now, you got in part one now. 9:30 and 11. You don't want to miss either one of them. We're going to switch it and swap it. You won't know who's going to be preaching or speaking at either of those services till Resurrection Sunday. You know, we'll swap it around. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to you listening to the Lord. I'd really like to hear from you of how we can pray with you. And if you need somebody to pray with, maybe as you're praying, the Lord's saying, well, the Lord wants me to do this. Well, get somebody else involved in that, praying with you about it, okay? And so we're going to listen to the Lord. We're not going to be the same people after Resurrection Sunday this year. We're not. We're not going to be the same people. We're not going to be the same church. Not going to be. It's not going to happen. Now, it's up to you. Are you going to be a part of it? Or are you going to sit by and watch the parade go by? I encourage you. Join in. I want to send you out in the name of the Lord. Send you out in His power. And by the way, guys, that are if you want to have breakfast with us on Saturday morning. Let me hear from you by at the church web address or text, either yes or no, I can come or not by Friday morning, because we'll be buying the food on Friday. I know you're coming, Daniel. I had no doubt about that. That wasn't something I laid awake at night wondering. All right, and also need a little help, preferably if you've had cooking experience. Growing up, I always thought when we went camping that my dad threw sand in the grits. Every time we went camping, and then I was 40 years old before I found out they would undercook grits the whole time. All right, let's pray. Now, Lord, send us out. Send us out with joy. The joy of the Lord. May your joy just exude our presence. In Jesus' name, amen.